to support the industry as it prepared to play a role in the United Kingdom's ambition to develop carbon capture technology and hydrogen production. In exchange, the industry promised to cut its carbon emissions and use British-made components for 50% of their decarbonisation projects. The North Sea Transition Authority said the industry risked losing its ongoing social licence to operate, which allowed companies to keep drilling for oil and gas even while Britain moved away from fossil fuels, unless it could meet its longer-term climate targets. Philip Evans, a climate campaigner for Greenpeace UK, said the industry's operational emissions were the mere tip of the iceberg compared with those produced by using fossil fuels, which accounted for more than 80% of the total emissions from drilling, extracting and burning oil and gas. This is why Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's plan to max out North Sea reserves is a grave mistake, Philip Evans said. The government's deliberate disregard for the majority of the emissions from these climate-wrecking projects is completely reckless, and the reason we're fighting them in two separate courts of law. And unless it revokes the recently approved license for Rosebank, we're likely to be back for a third court case. A British government spokesperson said, through our landmark North Sea transition deal agreed between the British government and industry, we are backing the decarbonisation of the oil and gas sector while supporting tens of thousands of jobs across Scotland and the wider United Kingdom. While our plans to power up Britain include significant investment in new renewable and nuclear projects, the transition to non-fossil forms of energy cannot happen overnight. And even when we're at net zero emissions, we still need some oil and gas, as recognised by the Independent Climate Change Committee. The business media brand, the ED Network and the ED website has also covered the same story and tells us more. The North Sea Transition Authority this week opened a consultation on a forthcoming plan for low-carbon transition for the sector. It has concluded that the industry is on track to reduce carbon emissions by 10% by 2025 and by 25% by 2027. Against the 2018 baseline. However, measures already in train across the sector are unlikely to deliver a promise to halve carbon emissions between 2018 and 2030, by the North Sea Transition Authority's calculations. Significant progress has been made, but there is more work to be done, and the North Sea Transition Authority estimates that without further initiatives, the 2030 emissions reduction target agreed between the government and industry as part of the North Sea Transition Deal may be missed. The statement by the North Sea Transition Authority added, "Bold measures will be needed to deliver the 2030 climate target. Progress is tough and will require investment, collaborative effort, and detailed planning." The North Sea Transition Authority is consulting on measures to reduce the sector's operational emissions across four pillars: energy and material efficiency, switching fuel sources to electric or other low-carbon alternatives, cutting venting and flaring, and managing asset inventory to phase out older, less efficient assets. It bears noting that Scope 3, or indirect emissions from the sector, are not covered in the North Sea Transition Authority's proposed plan, as the bulk of the sector's total carbon footprint is generated from the end use of its fuels. Greenpeace UK has stated that the proposed changes would only address the mere tip of the iceberg. On flaring and venting, Chris Skidmore, MP's Net Zero Review, recommended the implementation of a ban in 2025. The British government declined to adopt this recommendation and said the original 2030 ban date would already be challenging to meet. The North Sea Transition Authority is consulting on interim targets to reduce venting and flaring, creating a more detailed pathway. Already, flaring has been reduced by more than 40% since 2018. In other news from the North Sea's fossil fuel sector, the Crown State has awarded a BP-led carbon capture and storage project with an agreement for lease. The Crown State has stated that the project, called Endurance, has the potential to be one of the largest of its kind in the world. It will enable carbon dioxide to be stored in a reservoir in a rock deep under the ocean. Carbon being stored in the reservoir would predominantly be captured from heavy industrial clusters in the northeast. British Petroleum BP is notably leading the East Coast Cluster project to bring industrial hubs in Humberside and in Teesside to net zero by 2050. Other firms are participating through the Northern Endurance Partnership. The Crown State, which leases plots of seabed, called the awarding of the lease agreement a significant milestone for growing Britain's carbon capture and storage capacity.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners, dear ladies from all around the world. Welcome back to a new episode of your very favorite program, Muslim Lady. Well, I am Asma. Once more, I have the pleasure to be your host. And in here, we have Sister Zainab with us. Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Wa alaikum assalam. Assalamu alaikum to you and to dear listeners.
Thank you very much for being here. So, as we are human beings, we usually think that maybe I have the power or the even right to change other people around me. But is there such a notion? I mean, is it real? Can I change anyone?
Most of us do desire to change those around us.
But that stays, it remains as a desire, I suppose.
Because we struggle with the process.
Yeah.
We often believe that if others change, our lives will be much better. You know, we will find peace. But that's not true. You know, we frequently think that all our problems would disappear if only we change the other person. Or we often hope that if someone else would have just corrected their behavior, it would have been a bit better. It should undergo a transformation. I don't like this particular behavior. And if this changed, everything would be fine. We don't deny that things might improve. But there are two critical questions. Can we actually change others? Is there a guarantee that if you change the person, then that everything is going to be like?
Well, the answer to both of them is no, according to me.
Yes, many of us spend years attempting to control and change those around us. We might beg, punish, use psychological tactics. You know, sometimes we employ various strategies. We are desperate, hoping that one day they'll change. After years of efforts...
But all in vain.
Yeah, we often find ourselves as an angry person, tired, resentful, depressed. Because nothing, the person has not changed. Some of us also struggle with the obsession of perfectionism. That's why we ought to change others. We try to change others. We have this... the end result, however, as you said, is exhaustion. It's anger, it's resentment, and it's depression, nothing else. So, again, let's address the question, can we change others? Now, ask yourself this question. How many people have you genuinely changed in your life?
None.
Do others change simply because you want to change them? Do they
of
change
course,
because
no.
of you? The answer is a big no. people change when they themselves want to change. This is the key point. Right. You know, they only change when they themselves want to change. Even the most, you know, spiritual lecturers, they cannot change someone who is not willing to change.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes we enter the majalis, sometimes we enter a lecture, sometimes we enter the even the hausa studies just to get changed. But until and unless you're not willing yourself to get changed, you won't. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this in Surah Ar-Ra'd, verily Allah does not change a person's condition unless they change their inner selves.
Exactly. Yeah, so there would be no change without me desiring that from the deepest part of my heart.
Right. So our efforts to change others only wear us out. You know, if you believe you can finally change someone, you are mistaken, namaste.
And something just for the record, I would love to add it in here because I have seen it a lot in my friends. There comes a person in their life and they say, okay, he's a good guy, but then he has this and that and that. And then it's okay, I will get into a life with him. I would marry him. But then I'm sure that I will change him. He would be changed by time. This is the absolute wrong notion anyone could ever have. If you love someone, you have to love them for who they are, because you have to keep it in your mind that maybe there's no chance for that guy to change.
Right.
So this is the very truth that you have to keep it in your mind. If there's anyone who has to change, they must wish it themselves. You, as a stranger, cannot impose anything on their mind or heart.
Right.
And that's it. So let's go for a short break and then we'll be back to see about the rest of the story.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back. This is Muslim Lady. I'm Asma and Sister Zainab is here. We're talking about, again, a crucial thing, which is love and changing others. So I love someone, that's why I want to change them. You know, it starts with this notion. And then, unfortunately, most of the efforts are fruitless because we said that there's no change without a desire or wishing. The person themselves must wish for that change. If they don't, trust me, even if you kill yourself in front of them, then there'd be no change. So now, we talked about the relationships, the kind of marriages that it starts with this notion that, okay, this guy is a good guy, I genuinely love him, but, well, he is so bad-tempered, for example, or he is a liar, but it's okay because I'm going to change him. I think I have that much of power in me to change him. Is this true?
Definitely not, because a marriage is a lifelong commitment. It's not some kind of fantasy. It's a lifelong commitment, and it's not advisable to enter into a marriage with the expectation that you can change your partner. It's important to build a foundation of mutual respect. It's important to be compatible and have shared values and accept the person how it is. Because nobody is perfect on this earth. If someone is like not the way you want him to be, you should either accept or like look for someone who matches your own values. You know, while it's natural for people to evolve and grow over time, but expecting to change fundamental aspects of someone's personality, it can lead to disappointment only.
Because you know what? Okay, I have met a guy, and this guy has got too much of things. I feel like, okay, we match. It's okay up until now. And we say that we think that we have done too much. But then as you enter the life, you would see, even in this good guy that you thought you might have too much of things in common, when you get into real life under the same roof, then you would understand some aspects, some points, some factors in their personalities that you have never thought he could have it.
Right. You know, I think that's because of the world, that how world has defined love for us. Because I feel like, okay, I love this person and tomorrow I'm going to change his these and basic features. If you want to change, then you didn't love that person.
Exactly.
Because love is actually, you know, accepting who they are.
Yeah.
Including their strengths, including the weaknesses.
Weaknesses. This is the most important one. Right. Because if I love you as strong as you are, I have done nothing. Right. I must love you in your weaknesses.
Right. And love that person as an individual. So instead of seeking a compromise, or it's a compromise because you're intending to change that person. So instead of this compromise or marrying someone in the hope of changing them, it's advisable to focus on finding a partner who shares your core values, you know, who communicates effectively, who demonstrates willingness to work on personal growth and self-improvement. You know, it's important to build a compatibility between two partners, but you can't change the basic things. And I think, you know, why that happens. Even it happened with me, it's a personal experience that's why I'm sharing. But then a great teacher came to my home, and then they helped me. They told me, you know why you seek to change your partner? Because you're comparing him with you. I never had idea towards this particular
As thing. If you are the criteria for everything, you compare others with yourself. And that happens to every single one of us.
Yeah, you know, I was like, it's been just 8 years in Iran, and I have more contacts, but he has less contacts, unless he has grown up here. Yeah. And they were like, why are you comparing him with you? He is not an extrovert. You're an extrovert. Why you want him to be an extrovert? I would say my problem was a very big problem, but yes, problems do arise in any
of
relationship.
Of course, in all the
So
families.
I'm sharing this because, you know, sometimes you really compare, and deep down in your thoughts, you don't know, you don't realize you're comparing.
And it happens to all the women out there.
Right. So I think that those teachers who had came to our house, they changed my way of looking at, you know.
Your perspective. They gave you a new horizon.
Because, yes, I was always in this hope of, like, I would change him one day. I would make him this and that.
And then suddenly you understood that, okay, there is no hope for me changing him.
Right. And it's okay to accept him this way.
Yeah.
Okay, it's okay. Like, if he's not an extrovert, it's okay.
He's the way he is.
Right.
Embrace it.
Embrace it. Simply embrace it. And
this process of embracing facts is very important, and we have to learn it, I suppose. So let's go for a short break, and then we'll be back for the last part of today's episode. Thank you for staying with us. Relationship, we understood that he is the way he is. As a woman, as a lady, I understood, I embraced this fact that I cannot change the other people in front of me. What should I do?
I should communicate. While we have been saying that it's a key point in a relationship, express your feelings, you know, express your concerns, express your expectations to your partner in a very calm manner. It's not necessarily like...
Yeah, do
say,
not be so aggressive.
Yeah, don't say, oh my God, I was expecting you to be someone, but you came out to be someone else.
I knew it. I knew it. You would never change.
Right. So clearly say what behaviors you find problematic. It's really important that you discuss, see, this is problematic to me. Most of the men have this habit of waking up late in the morning, and women like to wake up early, and or they say, like, if I wake up early, why does not he wake up early? Rather than saying him directly this, or because he's not willing to change.
Yeah.
You know, you can say, you can discuss, you can share education, you can share verses, narrations, like you can, you know, discuss with your partner. You know, I was going through something, and I found, like, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to his daughter, Lady Fatima, oh Fatima, do not be among those people, ignorant people, who do not take the, you know, sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that morning time, in that dawn time. So how important it is to wake up in the morning. Inform them. So informing or updating could work.
Mm-hmm.
Then actually changing. You can't tell your partner that if you're not going to wake up early in the morning, I'm not going to make breakfast for you. This
well, then again,
work.
I suppose you have to keep in mind at a corner of your thought, you have to keep these things that maybe even if I talk, there is no chance for me to see the change.
Right.
So do not go with high expectations.
You may find change this way, but that will be very short-lived.
I guess you have to lower down your expectations, because when you have high expectations, then the thing that happens to you is that, unfortunately, you might be let down. So in order not to get to that point of disappointment, do not set some high expectations in your mind.
I would say even if you have those expectations, talk about them clearly.
Yes, talk about them, but don't stick to them very...
Exactly. You should not be sticking, because expectations end up in hurting.
Yeah.
And always establish your clear boundaries, regarding the behaviors that are unacceptable to you, that you found now after marriage. I never knew this. He is like that. So set a clear boundary. Talk about. Again, communicate your boundaries.
Yeah.
Discuss the ways you respect.
I'm telling you, when you know someone and you think they're perfect for you, you might get into living together and then see some points you have never thought about.
Right.
So there might be some unexpected personalities that might rise out into your face.
Right.
This was for the occasion when you picked the person according to your will and you thought, okay, he is perfect for me. But then imagine the situation when you pick someone with the notion that, okay, I will change him one day. I know about all his weaknesses and about the features that I don't like about him. But then I get into life and see, okay, there are some more added to that list. So just have it in mind. Getting into a relationship with the idea that, okay, I will change that person is not going to work at all.
Yeah, you can simply, like, if you really want that, you can simply, encourage their personal growth by education, sharing the verses, sharing the narrations, sharing the articles or books. That may promote those behaviors that you want.
Exactly, yeah. And this is all the time that we had. I wish all of us to change into the better version of ourselves. Thank you for staying with us. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting for something to happen to me. But this waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Hello, everyone. Let us ponder on a maxim from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, to his cousin and first infallible successor, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. O Ali, no poverty is harsher than ignorance, no fortune better than the intellect, no loneliness desolate than pride, no victory like counseling, no intellect like moderation, no lineage like good manners, and no worship like pondering over things.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible?
از راه قرآن.
By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من. این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزای لازمی است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن.
دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله.
U.S. presence in Afghanistan.
Part 4.
In any country, the judicial system is assigned with fighting corruption. With the start of the Reconstruction period, the Americans promised Afghans that they would establish an efficient judicial system. Eric Holder, the then U.S. Attorney General, talked about the rule of law, complete transparency, and enjoying maximum justice in Afghanistan.
Now, the United States is committed to partnering with Afghanistan to ensure that all Afghan citizens have access to a fair, efficient, and transparent judicial system.
But by the end of U.S. presence in Afghanistan, the indices for justice and the rule of law were in the worst condition. Reports released by the World Justice Project in 2019 and 2020 confirm it. As for the rule of law, Afghanistan ranked 122nd among 128 countries, and as for regulatory enforcement, it was among the 10 worst countries. Finally, in civil justice, it was ranked 123rd among 128 countries. Apart from international reports, the people of Afghanistan were completely dissatisfied with their judicial system introduced by the U.S. According to the report by World Justice Project, the people had the highest degree of distrust in the Afghan judges. That's why most of the people felt like the formal judicial system could not ensure justice, so they prefer the informal judicial system, a network that was traditionally in place to resolve disputes within Afghan society.
In 2016, we conducted a study that aimed at looking at what these perceptions and experiences were like, and we saw that a large number of Afghans were pursuing these informal mechanisms.
Based on the World Justice Project's report, the first thing that came to mind when people regarded the courthouses of Afghanistan was corruption. Mm-hmm. after the fundamental problems of the Afghan judicial system, the International Court of Justice at The Hague considered the Afghan judicial system completely collapsed because of its absolute inefficiency.
And I'll stop there for a moment. What we do have in Afghanistan is a substantial collapse or unavailability of the national system.
Corruption in the Afghan judicial system was part of the organized corruption within the system caused by the U.S. during the Reconstruction period. The courthouses, the police, and the administrative employees were all part of it.
They wanted a little bit of justice, the Afghan people. So what do? We build courthouses. We hire corrupt judges, corrupt prosecutors, and corrupt officials.
The dark and non-transparent atmosphere in Afghanistan was the best chance for U.S. companies to possess a big chunk of the reconstruction budget. Fox News calls it windfalls of war for the companies. As John Sopko put it, the companies found out the odor of mendacity was coming from Afghanistan.
But there's an odor of mendacity throughout the Afghanistan issue.
Under those circumstances, so much was stolen from the Afghan Reconstruction Fund that John Sopko doesn't exactly know how many billions of dollars was actually stolen.
I can tell you it's in the billions. And I can also tell you it's too much. We've wasted too much. How much has been stolen? I just don't have the time to track that down. It's almost impossible. I know the Wartime Contracting Commission, which was set up by Congress and looked at Iraq and Afghanistan, I think it was a 60, 70 billion they came up. But I don't know where they came up with that number.
The American companies were behind the stealing because neither Afghan politicians nor people had the access to the Reconstruction Fund. No court session was held in the U.S. or anywhere else to deal with the stealing or the corruption in the Reconstruction process, except for one court session that was held in Afghanistan in 2014 to handle the case of corruption in Reconstruction. The court charged an Afghan. The interesting point is an American testified against him. Eventually, corruption put an end to the 20-year reconstruction. The corruption had its roots in the U.S. Assuming the Afghan reconstruction failed, a question comes to mind. Why did the U.S. government spend money for reconstruction of a poor and war-stricken country like Afghanistan in the first place? In 2019, Afghanistan was the biggest recipient of U.S. foreign aid.
The United States is the world's largest giver in the world, by far, of foreign aid.
In 2020, Afghanistan was a top recipient of U.S. non-military aid. But what was the U.S. after? Humanitarian goals, or was it pursuing another goal? U.S. reconstruction projects are basically in line with an old policy, foreign assistance. Foreign assistance is a strategic tool along U.S. military and diplomatic forces.
If you look at our foreign assistance as a tool in our national security portfolio, as opposed to charity, then you combined our defense budget overall with our diplomatic budget and our foreign assistance budget, then in that mix, there's a lot more we should be doing.
On the other hand, in order to use the natural resources of a poor country, the U.S. needs to enter that country as a charitable country.
Oftentimes not focused exclusively on poverty alleviation. In fact, it was used to try to forge political alliances and to try to buy access to a country's natural resources.
The goal of accessing natural resources in Afghanistan was defined as striking a balance between reconstruction and the energy resources and mines in the country.
There were a lot of multilateral assessments that were going on at the time that would ultimately drive some of the strategies for the mining and energy sector. When I first stepped foot into Afghanistan, I realized that there are so many projects. One of the best ways to approach our aid would be to regionalize our aid, and we should have reconstituted them. I always say this wasn't a reconstruction effort. This was a construction effort. And we came in thinking, oh, we'll just go to the region and put some money in there, and it'll be back on its feet.
In order to ameliorate and wipe off the military invasion of Afghanistan, the U.S. used foreign assistance as a tool to pursue its political and economic agendas.
It is in America's interest to do the things that we do with foreign assistance. It is in our economic interest. It is in our security interest.
Eventually, the measures turned the country that received support into a consumer of American goods and a political ally of the United States. This is a policy the U.S. implemented after World War II in many European countries, including Germany and Asian countries like Japan and South Korea. The European and Asian countries were economically developed, but at a big cost, and that was their military and political independence was taken away from them.
We've had troops in Europe now for 70 years.
Yeah.
We've had troops in South Korea for 70 years.
The program was supposed to be implemented in the second wave of reconstruction in Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan, but the past experience did not happen again for the U.S.
We haven't learned the lessons of Vietnam. If anything, after Vietnam, we said we're never going to do it, and we cut all of the capabilities to do these type of reconstruction events or activities in a war zone. And lo and behold, we said we're never going to do it again. We did it in Iraq. We did it in Afghanistan.
The U.S. failures in Vietnam and Afghanistan were not similar only in the exit from the embassies, but failure in reconstruction was another factor that Vietnam and Afghanistan had in common. After the reconstruction failure in Afghanistan, the permanent SIGAR organization also came to an end, and Afghan reconstruction case was closed.
I've spent a lot of time over the last number of weeks, and my staff has, trying to get our American SIGAR employees out.
But the U.S. State Department did not allow the last reports on Afghanistan to be published and barred the public from accessing the reconstruction documents.
SIGAR was forced to relegate all of this information into classified annexes.
So John Supko, head of the investigating institute, was forced to classify the documents.
Shortly after the fall of Kabul, the State Department wrote to me and other oversight agencies requesting that we, quote unquote, temporarily suspend access to all of our audit, inspection, and financial reports.
Classifying documents apparently means everything is over, and no one should know what happened in reconstruction of Afghanistan.
So the Afghan people really preferred the Taliban sometimes to the officials that we brought in from the central government.
Why?
That was a serious problem. But to the Afghan people, they actually got justice from the Taliban. So you didn't have to offer, you didn't have to reinvent the wheel, you didn't have to do major programs in these districts to win the hearts and minds of the Afghan people.
The Americans might be able to shred all the realities on papers and demolish them or burn them. They might be able to remove the data from any network or system, and they might be able to secretly take the classified documents out of Afghanistan, but the realities on the ground cannot be shredded or burned and cannot remain classified forever. The realities will one day reveal
what happened under the skin of Afghanistan.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salamun alaikum, you're listening to another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about living by the Quran. قلب ينبض بالقرآن وهنا حلقات الصديق قلب ينبض بالقرآن هذا النور شفاء صدور فاض وعطر كل لسان وهنا حلقات الصديق Today, Wednesday, is the 25th of Rabiul Awwal, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 19th of Mehr, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of October, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Allah's book. Chapter Al-Qamar, verses 17-19.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولقد يسرنا القرآن للذكر فهل من مدكر.
And we have certainly made the Quran easy for remembrance. So is there any who will remember?
كذبت عاد فكيف كان عذابي ونذر.
عاد denied, and how severe were my punishment and warning.
إنا أرسلنا عليهم ريحا صرصرا في يوم نحس مستمر.
Indeed, we sent upon them a screaming wind on a day of continuous misfortune.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse in question is saying that Allah Almighty truly made the Holy Quran easy to understand, such that everyone may easily comprehend. The words and expressions therein and thereby find the path toward his happiness. Thus people may learn the accounts of former people like people Noah's tempest and ark and the perdition of all peoples all over the earth except for his followers. Thus they may learn the recompense of their evil deeds and take a lesson. We're speaking about living by the Quran. This is today's special. Reading the Quran will be of little benefit to you unless you, from the first moment, begin to change and reconstruct your life in total surrender to Allah, who has given you the Quran. Without the will and the striving to act, neither the states of hearts and enraptures of the soul, nor the ecstasies of mood, nor intellectual enrichment will be of any use to you. If the Quran does not have any impact upon your actions, and if you do not obey what it enjoins and avoid what it prohibits, then you are not getting near to it. On every page of the Quran is an invitation to surrender and submit, to act and change. At every step, the reader is confronted to decide and commit himself. Those who do not submit to it are declared to be kafir, zalim, or wrongdoer, and fasiq, iniquitous. All we can find these words in chapter Ma'idah, chapter 5, verses 7 to 11.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, welcome to Arab English Radio and another show on how to live according to Al-Quran, a comprehensive Quranic guide for life from Arab English Radio about interpersonal relations. We read in the holy book Al-Quran and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes kindness and forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah, in chapter Fussilat, goodness and evil are not equal. Repel evil with what is better. Then you will see that the one who was once your enemy has become your dearest friend. As for the community involvement and the necessity of justice and standing for truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, O you who have believed, be persistently standing firm for Allah, witnesses injustice, and do not let the hatred of a people prevent you from being just. Be just, that is nearer to righteousness. As for education and knowledge and the importance of seeking knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Alaq, read in the name of your Lord who created. Again, as for health and well-being and the importance of moderation in all things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O children of Adam, take your adornment at every masjid and eat and drink, but be not excessive. Indeed, He likes not those who commit excess.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the
parable of life. Allah says in the Holy Quran, the parable of the life of this world is that of water which we send down from the sky. It mingles with the earth's vegetation, from which humans and cattle eat. When the earth puts on its luster and is adorned, and its inhabitants think they have power over it, our edict comes to it by night or day, whereat we turn it into a mown field, as if it did not flourish the day before. Thus do we elaborate the signs for a people who reflect. God by this verse is saying that life in this world is not lasting but transitory. It is fleeting and will quickly come to an end, whereas life in the hereafter is eternal and infinite. Therefore, we must live life in such a way that our life in the hereafter is bettered and we are prosperous. Otherwise, life in this world will quickly come to an end before we know it. As a result, we must make the best use of it. Mm-hmm.
موعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا
For today and for ways to use the Quran to improve our life, we suggest getting rewarded for trying to read. The Arabic language is a strange language for some of us. When you're a beginner, you're more likely to stutter and struggle to read it fluently. It is frustrating enough not to understand what you're reading. Add to that the need to practice reading in numerous languages and letters. But have no fear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-wise and all-merciful. He will double your reward for your efforts to read the words of the Quran.
If you study the Quran, there are certain verses about Al-Ladina and Rabbik. Those who are end of your Lord, means close to your Lord. So Allah will remember them with those who are very close to Him, such people. And this is just some sample. We have many, many hadiths about emphasis on the Quran, respecting the Quran. And one of the most important instructions of the Prophet, as you know, is he said to all Muslims, "Anni tarikun fikum uthaqalain kitab Allah wa itrati." For sure, the Prophet didn't mean just to print the Quran, to, you know, keep the Quran at your home, or to kiss the Quran only. The Prophet meant that you should act according to the Quran and should act according to the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. To love the Quran and not follow it, or to love Ahlul Bayt and not follow them, would not be enough. So I hope we show our gratitude to all the sacrifices of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By appreciating more the gift of the Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wassalam, these two important things that he left for us, inshallah.
Brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special, and we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
A message from the sky, a mercy for mankind. If you lose your way, we'll always be your guide. Far greater than this world, move mountains with its words. Fixed every part of me and put my heart at ease. And Allah knows words heal the soul, most beautiful of miracles. The more you read,
القرآن هدي الإيمان القرآن مسك الختام يا قرآن عليك سلام.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.